Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester, and with me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I feel like it's been weeks since we've spoken. It's rolling fine. How's it rolling for you?
We just saw each other last week.
We did see each other last week, but I feel like I haven't spoken since then. And I didn't see that much of you last week. Your head was buried in a laptop, famously. So,
but we've seen more of each other in the last year than the previous.
Yeah, I had to explain because a lot of people actually. I was surprised how many people like knew who you were at like the after party for Rob's live show and stuff. Like a lot of people said, like, "Hey, where's Chester?" Which was a mistake. I should have asked you if you wanted to come. Obviously, you had no interest in the Survivor part, but like, you know, you could have come to the bar afterwards. Although you know,
seeing a bunch of Survivor nerds.
Well, those are your listeners. You live in the nerdiest house and you're throwing nerdy stones.
There's no one my wife has more disdain and confusion for in the entire world than listeners of this podcast. Which is ironic because they could say to her, like, "All right, we spend an hour a week with him, but you spend."
Yeah, I was going to say something. 168 hours. I'm going to keep it clean, but like,
No, let's dirty it up. Let's go. You bragged you never said the F word on the Seinfeld podcast. Let's get dirty.
When did that got posted already? The Seinfeld podcast.
The Curb podcast.
Yeah. Oh, the Curb podcast. Oh yeah. Yes.
I didn't send an email this week. Episode one was phenomenal, fantastic, you know, as good as Pete Curb. Mm-hmm. The rest of the season has sucked.
You haven't liked it.
I mean, it's still Curb.
It's
so
funny.
It's still, like,
I laugh
show,
like five times an episode. But there haven't been any.
Yeah, but it's... Yeah, whatever. Let's hear. What were you about to say? You can't tease the listeners like that.
Listen. First of all, I'm not even on speaking terms with your wife right now, so...
You've never been on speaking terms with my
wife.
Well,
now I'm really... Although I was so mad because when you came over... When you were supposed to come over when I had a bunch of listeners over on Football Sunday 2 weeks ago, you were supposed to come and then you like canceled in the middle of the day. Your wife didn't let you come. So I'm like, I'm mad at your wife. And you like text me your phone number. It's like, argue with her. I'm like, I'm not calling up your wife and arguing with your wife.
No, that's actually, you called me and said, let me talk to Jen.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to like call her separately. Like if she was next to you, put her on the phone and I would have like begged her.
Yeah, but she wasn't next to me. You know why? Because we were fighting at that time. You know why? Because of this bullshit.
Yeah.
So, that's what happened.
Listen, if it's a choice between you getting divorced and the podcast ending, like, I actually do want you to get divorced before the podcast ends. I'm not joking. No offense.
Yeah. Well, from your perspective.
Your marriage has very little value to me, but the podcast I enjoy.
Yeah.
Your second wife, probably you could, you're coming in with the podcast. So, at the point, like, you're 34. You went gray, but you're not like bald and fat like me. Like you could pick up like a normal second wife, you know.
Well, considering your friend and what you claimed that he could pick up.
Yeah, well, it's different if you have. I think the single guy who's never been married has a different sort of a pool than maybe someone who has three little boys. Not everyone wants to be like a stepmom.
I got child support to put like.
But yeah, child support, also, alimony. She's gonna like get a much better lawyer than you and kill you. But I you could pick up someone relatively. I don't want to say normal because you're not normal, but you could find someone, you know, like that's not like a total monster. But ideally, maybe they would appreciate the podcast more. Your second wife.
Yeah, well, my wife actually, for the first time like ever, said a complimentary thing about the podcast yesterday. She said to me, "Did you see the video of LeBron and the Cavs on the subway yesterday?"
Yeah.
Okay, so the guy next to LeBron who seemed to not know who LeBron was and then freaked out and ran away.
Right. Yeah. He did not want to be on camera at all.
Yeah, yeah. My wife wants us to track that guy down and make a podcast about who he is.
That is a decent idea, but I feel like he's really not into. Not into being on camera. Like, if you didn't want to be on camera with LeBron,
yeah,
I don't know why he's going to go on 32 Fans.
Well, he had headphones in. What are the odds that he was actually listening to our podcast at the time and he was being distracted?
Zero. It's actually zero.
Well, I was going to say, is it one in a million? One in, like, 5 million? It's not literally
zero. Well, it's way more than one in 5 million. Like, the odds are zero. There's no way he was listening at that exact time. Like, how many times does our podcast listen to ever, then, like, divide it by, like, the 24 hours a day?
That's true.
How many people listen? The odds are zero. This is an absurd question.
Yeah.
And if he was listening to our podcast, he'd probably know who LeBron was. He didn't look like he knew who LeBron was at all. So
that's the other part. How is it possible to not know who LeBron is?
Yeah. Well, we sort of did this with, like, the greatest living Americans, but, like, most recognizable faces. I'd assume, like, Donald Trump is one. Like, who are the most recognizable faces in the country? LeBron is up there.
Well, I think Obama.
And
he's definitely above Donald
Trump. Yeah, Obama's up there. You know, probably, I don't know, he's 1-2 with Trump.
I mean,
Hillary's pretty high. Because there are a lot of people that don't follow sports. They wouldn't know who LeBron was. The fact that LeBron's 6'8 also makes him very easy to spot on the subway.
Well, that was the thing. Like, when you have 12 guys in an NBA team in the subway, it's impossible not to know that that's an NBA team, even if you don't know anything about the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I just there are a lot of people that
there's no way that guy didn't know it was LeBron. That guy just didn't care, which is still pretty weird. Yeah. Speaking of 32 fans, well, this is actually a terrible segue, but I thought that the final episode of one of our favorite shows, Nathan For You, was very similar to a recent episode of 32
yeah,
Fans.
Yeah, yeah. I do think, like, they clearly filmed it earlier than us because they had video of them watching the debate, which means it takes a really long time for them to put that show together.
Oh, so they didn't copy us, is what you're
they
saying.
They didn't copy us, but I do think that the the heart of their season finale, Finding Francis, was very similar to the 33rd fan. There's a lot of similarities between Bill, the character who's looking for Francis in that episode, and Michael Friday / Pete Luck / who knows what their real name is.
Yeah,
what did I think of it? I thought it was great. It's not
looking.
Totally
trying to get a career in. Yeah,
yeah. I could see Bill Heath also starting a podcast, and then being sensitive
if
somebody
younger,
says that nobody listens to it, which I don't even think I said.
Sure.
I don't even remember saying.
Well, you just did. But.
No, but last week he's like, oh, don't say no one listens to our podcast. I'm like, I didn't even realize you had one. I don't remember.
By the way, you want to hear the most absurd argument in the universe? Mm-hmm. So my father-in-law, who unfortunately is a voter of the current occupant of the White House.
No way. Your father-in-law is a Trump supporter?
I mean, he's not like, I mean, he's
That's
not walking around in a red hat, but
is.
He vote.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So anyhow, don't pretend you don't have any of those in your family. Everybody does.
Yeah. Oh, my father-in-law is for
no,
sure.
No,
yeah,
families.
No question.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so he was visiting us this weekend, and Saturday night when I read the crazy the Mean Girls tweet that Trump tweeted where he said he responded to being called a lunatic old man who's trying to start a nuclear war. By the way, he didn't care about being called a lunatic or starting a nuclear war. The only part that bothered him about that sentence was being called
old. Yeah, this is old
which
news,
is pretty
though,
funny.
Yes.
But yeah, yeah. So anyway, so you know, so then he tweeted out and he called. He said, "I'm not going to call Kim Jong Il fat and short and fat." And so I read the tweet to my family, including my father-in-law. And my father-in-law defended the tweet and said, so he's not calling him short and fat. He's explicitly not calling him short and fat.
Oy, oy, oy.
And this is
Wait,
a,
so he
this
still
is a nice conversation
him?
We had. I mean, define support.
Like, he defends
like he doesn't,
him.
You know, he doesn't.
That's great.
Well, he was defending that tweet.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty crazy. It was, you know, you got to love some people and just, you know, push things to the side, I guess. That's
oh
another
my
way
gosh.
To put it. So, anyhow. Yeah,
and
but, so
the Jen, would you say Jen
Francis?
Supports Trump, or she's more of a like she's neutral?
She's not neutral. She hates Trump.
Yeah. I mean, you are pretty Trumpish.
A normal person.
So. You've said some really Trumpy
That's
things
the worst.
Recently.
That's the worst thing anyone's ever said to me in my entire life.
Let's get to that.
Well, so tell me, what do you think?
Yeah. Oh, the episode. I thought it was great.
Francis?
It was a little bit outside the you know stated idea of the show. Although I guess the 33rd fan was a little different. Than you know, analyzing the week in football for us, like they definitely broke format, which they also did for the Kimmel episode. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really compelling. I was surprised that they didn't have a meeting on camera with Francis and Bill. My impression is that she told them ahead of time she was not willing to go on camera. They probably said someone from your past wants to meet you, and she didn't want to be on camera, so they did the phone call, which probably wasn't actually outside her house. It was probably could have been anywhere in the country. So it didn't have the most satisfying ending because the prostitute part was just written in to like fill more time. Like it had no connection to the rest of the episode. It was probably even like written in and filmed months later. That's my guess. Like there.
Well, hold on. But this is the series. This is not the season finale. This is a series finale.
Not officially. He certainly hasn't said it. People are just speculating.
Oh. Because a running theme throughout the show has always been looking for true love.
Yeah,
now,
the Wizard of Loneliness.
The way he does it. Yeah. But yeah. And so I thought it was pretty obvious that that's why he chose this as the final episode, and that's why he chose obviously the false narrative. But he's sort of like the way that our 33rd fan ended on something that was maybe true or maybe not true. But he's pretending at least in his world that it's true that he's actually fallen in love with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My issue with the episode was that it was such a departure. It had nothing to do with what the show has always been.
Yeah.
And that's fine if you want to do something totally different. But then it would have bits and pieces where it was the same thing. Like, he would go to these ridiculous lengths, like making like the fake reunion where, you know, where a Bob has to.
I mean, Mud 2 was incredible. That's maybe the best fake thing they've ever done, Mud 2.
Yeah, but yeah, like, yeah, why are they doing all that ridiculous stuff? Like, are you trying to be sincere? Not trying to not be sincere? You know, and then he has like the whole like fake relationship with the escort. So I didn't really know what they were trying to do. It was like two different shows at once, basically. You know, it wasn't bad.
No, I thought it was great. It was definitely wasn't bad. It was amazing, but it's not perfect. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it amazing. I would say it was this season overall was much like Curb. This was the worst season of Nathan for You, which is still a great show. But
well, it's a little different, right? They did some real high concept episodes. They had fewer episodes. It's a little different than most seasons.
I would call them low concept. I would call them unsuccessful concept. But
well,
yeah,
most people disagree, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's definitely the most the show's been talked about this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, Dumb Star Wars got talked about, but less about, like, hey, this is a great show.
I don't know. Had I mentioned this to you? Because I guess not, because if so, you probably would have mentioned it on your Curb podcast. But I was saying to some friends last week that I want, you know how people do death pools? I wanted to do a pool of, like, sexual harassment pools. And I think, and then I think you guys actually mentioned that on your Curb podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, obviously, that's not something you can do on a podcast.
No, this is a horrible idea.
Yeah. Oh, but you haven't been discussing, like, with your friends, like, off the record, like, who's coming next?
First of all, I don't have, like, off-the-record conversations with my friends, like, other than you, who I need to...
Well, by off-the-record, I mean off the podcast.
One of the great things that happened in the last few months was, like, because I always say, like, you're terrible at like, keeping secrets, and you don't know like, what's, like, not for public consumption, what is. And then I ran this theory by your wife, and she immediately nodded and said, yeah, he is horrible at keeping secrets, and you are 100% right. So... That actually made me feel good that, like, I was, you know, we're on the same page about you having a big mouth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, me having a big mouth is not exactly, like, a hot take.
Well, I didn't know that, like, that's a thing everyone knows. So, like, don't tell Chester anything, guys.
Well, no, I just meant that I talk a lot.
Yeah.
Well, no, you and my wife had slightly different complaints. Your complaint is that things that you don't explicitly say...
Yes.
Our secrets
correct.
Should then be treated as
correct.
Secrets.
I think, like, yeah. You know, at work you can't talk about certain things. You understand that. But if someone doesn't say don't say something, then you'll, like, write it in an email to Deadspin and almost get me fired.
First of all, you almost fired. You already had another job at that point. You were years past that job.
No, I was at NBC when you did that.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I definitely was.
Anyway, let's get to football because we're like 10 minutes.
Okay, let's do it. What are we doing this week?
Yeah. Well, what I'm doing right now is I'm making a chart. So there's been a lot of Eli Manning conversation in the Facebook group,
mm-hmm.
And Eliasov Schwartz, Avery Schwartz, listener of ours, he was talking about, you know, it's obviously hard to separate a quarterback from his offensive line, and he was theorizing that Eli's offensive line has been, you know, very below average and has therefore affected his performance. So I actually went ahead and I took the cumulative numbers for every single offensive line between 2004 and present, the Eli era.
Mm-hmm.
And the most interesting thing to me was, can I tell you who were the seven best offensive lines in the last 15 years?
Yeah, do it.
Number one by a huge margin is the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the best quarterback in that era has been, you know, Tom Brady. Number two is the New Orleans Saints, and the second best quarterback is in Drew Brees. Number three is the Colts, and the third best quarterback situation has been Peyton/Luck with, you know, a little bit of Curtis Painter and Jacoby Brissett mixed in. Four is the Packers, which was Ed DeFarve, Benny Rodgers. Five is the Chargers, which is Philip Rivers. Six is the Cowboys, Tony Romo. Seven is the Steelers with a Ben Roethlisberger. And then eight is the Jets randomly. So it's very interesting that basically the seven best quarterbacked teams of the last 13 years also are the exact
the
same
Jets,
teams.
The Jets
in
being
the same
an
order
eight is shocking.
Yeah, the Jets being 8 is shocking, but up until that point,
I mean, that
so
includes
that
like the whole
think,
Sanchez
like,
era. Like, you know, they made the AFC Championship game in a year he went 12 TD, 21 interception. That includes Geno
years. Well, no,
that's because
they had a great offensive line, though. Yeah, well, this isn't quarterback. This
is
offensive
line.
Oh,
just offensive line. Okay, fine. Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no,
they had the best
I'm
offensive
only
line
no.
Those
yeah,
years. They had five guys
no, yeah,
who
I,
made the Pro Bowl.
I am only rating the quality of offensive lines. Okay. What I'm pointing out is that because there's such a correlation between offensive line and quarterback, that makes you think. You know, Brady, you know, all the names we just mentioned, if they were behind, you know, offensive lines like the Browns or the 49ers or the Bears have had over the last 15 years, are they still Hall of Fame quarterbacks?
Right.
Because, you know, when we talk about quarterbacks, you always think of, like, the receivers, for example, or the running game. But, like, you know, I just thought it was amazing that there was an exact correlation, basically, between the seven best quarterbacks and the seven best offensive lines. It was, like, exactly on
that
point.
That is amazing.
And, by the way, Eli, the Giants have been 10th in that era. So Eli's had a very good offensive line.
Fascinating.
For the most part. Yeah. All right. So let's get to this week's games. Quick recap of last week. Last week, I beat you by one, so I'm now up 4 weeks to three with three ties. But you're still up one game on me for going game by game. This week, I did the same thing I did before week 11 of last season, which is I've gone ahead and I've ranked in order the excitingness of each one of the remaining games of the NFL season, which is something I think you actually...
But we're not going to be going game by game. You're going to do it based on how exciting each team's games are, just to clarify.
Yeah, we're not going to discuss all 110 games right now. That's correct. But you actually wanted to rank the 256 games of the regular season a couple of years ago.
No, I want to do it every offseason, and you always say that's boring. I wouldn't go over all 256. I just think it would be fun to rank and then say, like, here's our top 10.
So I did do 1 to 110 right now. And now, obviously, a lot of this is based on me predicting who's going to win each game. So as an example, in Week 16, the Vikings are playing at Green Bay. I predict that going into that game, the Packers, if they win, would take the division lead heading into Week 17. If the Vikings win, they would clinch the division. So because I have the Vikings winning that game, that means that in Week 17, the Packers-Lions is a meaningless game, so I have it at the near the very bottom. Mm-hmm. But obviously, if the Packers would win, then the next week, the Packers could be playing to clinch, you know, to lock in the division over the Vikings. So obviously, you know, this will be updated each week. But I'll update it each week. But I figured we'd rank the teams from 32 to 1 and how exciting they are, how interesting they are, how relevant they are for the rest of the season.
All right, that sounds good.
And we'll start with the most boring team over the final 7 weeks. If you're a fan of this team, you have nothing to root for, and you have wide open Sundays, and that's the New York Giants.
Yeah, I mean, the only intrigue with the Giants is if they're going to fire their coach or not. I think it's tough because you fire the coach.
I think it's when they're going to fire the
obviously.
Coach. There's no
I meant midseason. Obviously, he's done, even if they, you know, got back to, like, you know, 6-10. It's not going to save him. There's not much to say about them.
Yeah, they're a very boring team. And this week, they are hosting Kansas City. They're going to lose. So, again, very boring game. This week, I have that as the third-to-worst game. And the only reason it's not the worst is because, you know, Kansas City is a relevant team. All right, number 31, another meaningless team, San Francisco. The only question there is, do we get to see a little bit of Jimmy Garoppolo? But, you know, there's
is there no chance he starts? I mean, doesn't it, like, at a certain point, shouldn't he be starting? Or are they waiting for Beathard
to everybody
really
assumed he would start after the bye week. Yeah, but then Beathard actually had a good game. So they gave up an asset. They have to play after the bye, don't they?
I mean, they could wait one more week, I think, you know, to give him a little bit more time and also to have, like, maybe give Beathard one more chance to flop. And they go, like, well, Beathard's not getting the job done because at least Beathard has been, like, Beathard's by...
Yeah, but can't that backfire if Beathard has another good game?
Of course. Listen, look at the Vikings. Yeah. We both think that they want to play Teddy and they just can't right now. So, although that's a high-class problem because Beathard's not playing like Keenum, obviously.
Yeah. All right, number 30, another team on a bye this week and another team who there's no reason to watch this team. That's the Colts. Nothing to say about the Colts. You know, Jacoby Brissett might be injured, but he has 2 weeks to get better, and nobody cares.
No, nobody cares.
So, all right, nothing to say there. Number 29, shocking they're this high, the Cleveland Browns. And just like last year, the only thing the Browns have to play for right now is can they go 0-16, and if they keep losing, that could provide a modicum of excitement. A very small modicum.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, it's happened before. I didn't even think it was so special when the Lions did it. There's not really much to root for with the 0-16. I think 16-0 is a little bit cooler.
Yeah, and Jacksonville's going to beat them this week, right?
Of course, yeah. They might not beat them by 30, but they're going to win, yeah.
All right, number 28 is the Chicago Bears. If the Bears had won against Green Bay last week, they might be a little bit higher. This week they're playing Detroit. This is their last relevant game. If they can win this game, they might stay relevant for a little bit longer. But if they lose this game, then they're, you know, completely finished and you can stop paying attention to them altogether.
Yeah, I mean, they're frisky. They'll be a team in December
they're also
that's
a boring
annoying.
Team.
They're very boring because their quarterback stinks. Yeah. But, you know, they are sort of like, if either Trubisky could develop, I'm not going to say he can after what happened to Goff, like you get the right coach, he could, or they find like, you know, maybe they get Kirk Cousins next year or something. Like the defense is good enough that there's definitely something there, especially when they like have an NFL caliber receiving core next season.
Yeah. All right, number 27, and how the mighty have fallen, because a couple weeks ago they played arguably the best game of the season against most exciting game of the season against Seattle. But now the Houston Texans with Tom Savage, they're down to 27. You know, the only thing they have to play for is that they'll play a couple games against the teams in their division who are, you know, competing for a playoff spot, you know, when they play Jacksonville and Tennessee. Those games will matter for those teams, but Houston's season is sadly very much over.
It's sad because it kind of ruined the NFL season because they literally became the most exciting team in the league. Watson was the biggest star in the NFL for 7 days, and then the season ended.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Detroit at Chicago. Who are you taking in this game? Because I'm really going back and
forth.
Yeah,
this is going to be close. I think Detroit. I just don't trust Chicago to score enough points. It's going to be 17-14. Detroit wins.
All right, so I'll take Chicago. I want to have one more week of them being relevant, so I'll take Chicago, and then we get another disagreement. And Houston, actually, this line makes no sense to me. Houston is at home. They're stink, obviously, but they're hosting Arizona, who might be going to Blaine Gabbert. And yet Arizona's favored. Blaine Gabbert's favored on the road.
I mean, Blaine Gabbert versus Tom Savage is really up there on the worst all time. You should do this chart, by the way. Worst ever QB matchups. Can you do that for next week?
Yeah.
This is really up there.
This one's up there.
Gabbard Savage.
Yeah, this is the second worst game of the week to me. I think Houston's going to win, though. I don't understand why they're underdogs.
No, I do think Houston's going to win. I agree.
Yeah.
Arizona's right, mailing
so
it in.
We don't disagree on that one. Yeah, that's a very, very odd situation. All right, moving along. Number 26, the aforementioned Cardinals. You know, Arizona has been a depressing, pathetic season. Now they're on to quarterback number 3. The only reason they're as high as 26 is because their playing games are going to matter for the other teams. After this week, they're facing Jacksonville at home. They're facing the Rams at home. They're facing Tennessee at home. So that's 3 games in a row against playoff teams at home, which means in theory they could, you know, provide some competition for those teams. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, nobody cares about them. So, yeah, let's move right along. Let's, you know, zip up until we can get to some decent teams. Number 25 is Washington. Washington really cratered here. A little bit of a surprise to me that they're all the way down to 25 because last week they played a great game against the Vikings. But, you know, they're 4-5, and in the NFC, we've talked about 11-5 might miss the playoffs. So Washington season is
11-5 is not missing the playoffs. This is ludicrous.
Well, I will tell you that I have, heading into Week 17 right now, I have 5 teams 11-4 in the NFC and 2 teams 10-5. So I have 7 teams who could be who are going to have double digit wins before week 17. Mm-hmm. So I think 10-6 will certainly miss the playoffs in the NFC. Either way, we can agree Washington's season is over. They're also ranked very low because they have games against – they're playing the Giants, which is a garbage team. They're facing – they have a game – they have 2 games against the Giants, actually. So those are 2 unwatchable games. They have a game against Arizona, which is an unwatchable game. So Washington, you know, had a run of competence for a little bit, but their season's over, and no reason to talk about them anymore. All right, number 24, they don't deserve to be this high. We've seen them on national TV way too often the last couple of weeks, and they're completely unwatchable, the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, they're just so boring.
The only reason they're 24 is because, like, again, we just said 10-6 is going to miss the playoffs in the NFC.
What would their record be this year with Tannehill? That's my question. To me, it seems like if they were able to get a playoff spot last year, it seems insanely, you know, much easier to make the AFC playoff picture AFC. Is as soft as I could remember any sort of, like, not in terms of the 6th seed, because, you know, the NFC had that awful, you know, Seahawks-Rams game. Almost a decade ago at this point, where the 6-9 versus 7-8 team winner makes the playoffs. But in terms of like 2 or 3 potentially awful teams making it, I've never seen such a soft bubble like the AFC playoff picture. So I think the Dolphins would have. I mean, listen, the Dolphins are still in the playoff race now.
Yeah, well, that's why the number 24. Now this week they're playing the game that was delayed from week 1 because of the hurricane. They're hosting Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has been god-awful, obviously, but I think Tampa Bay is going to go on the road and win this one.
This is a weird game. Also, in our fantasy league, this game is technically week 1.
Yeah, very excited to get rid of those footnotes.
No, I think Miami's going to win. Tampa Bay looked pretty good against the Jets last week, but I think Miami will...
not an offense.
They moved the ball. They just kept kicking field
but
goals.
But they stopped the vaunted Josh McCown, who hasn't been stopped all year.
They found
in the first half,
elixir
anyway.
to put McCown. All right.
Yeah. Well, as I told you, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a dynamite against
the
former
team. Yeah, so I'm
going
Miami. You're going Tampa. We're going opposite direction.
Yeah, we're flipping. Yeah. In Washington, New Orleans, obviously, we have New Orleans winning, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's good. Washington, New Orleans is a good game, honestly.
Well, it's a 7.5 point spread.
Can the Saints win the Super Bowl?
I mean, who's gonna go to the Super Bowl for the NFC? You told me yesterday that you think the Vikings can win the Super Bowl.
They can't. I didn't say they will, but like you said, well, they should switch to Bridgewater because they can win the Super Bowl. And I said, why not? Like they might have to beat Jared Goff and Carson Wentz in the playoffs Neither of whom have obviously played a playoff game.
Look, I'm biased because the game I focused on the most for the Saints this year obviously was week one when the Vikings blew them out of the water and Sam Bradford looked like a Hall of Famer. So I'm still of the mindset that their defense sucks. Even though I can acknowledge their defense is
vastly
improved.
You always overrate week one by like week 10. You're still like worrying about like, well, the Niners beat the...
Well, no, I'm just overrating the Vikings game actually. But yeah. So I don't, you know, can the Saints win the Super Bowl? I guess technically, right? Their secondary is good and that's been their biggest weak shortcoming for years. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, shrug. All right. Number 23, the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Bengals are another team. The only reason that they're this high is because of the fact that even though they're 3-6, technically speaking, they could be alive in the playoff race in the crappy AFC. Yeah. And Cincinnati at Denver this week, which is an awful game between 2-3-6 teams. But again, the winner of that game is not out of the playoff race.
No, it's a hideous game.
I rank every game from 1 to 5 stars, and I have this as a one-star game. This week, by the way,
well, I would give this like 2 stars only because it's competitive, and like you said, it doesn't totally matter. One-star games are like this game doesn't matter at all, and you should not watch it.
Yeah, but it's Andy Dalton on the road against Brock Osweiler. That's getting you excited?
No, it's not getting me excited.
No. Yeah. I think Denver's going to win this game, though.
Okay.
What about you?
No, since he's going to win. Osweiler stinks.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really dispute that point. So, all right, so that's number 23. Moving right along in our excitement index, number 22, the 22nd most exciting team for the last 7 weeks of the season is Baltimore. I don't know what the hell Baltimore's doing this high. Again, it's basically a simple reflection of the fact that they could very easily make the wild card, which means that all their games are going to matter. But they're an unwatchable
team. They are.
They either get
so
blown out
40-0.
I mean,
Flacco,
or they
like literally in our 2QB league, Flacco.
He's the worst quarterback
Flacco
in the NFL.
Is not
this year.
Only unowned, but like unownable. Like there's like all these crappy guys like Gabbert or wherever get picked up before him.
Yeah, he has 13 points as many times as he has negative points this year. So,
but you want to hear an amazing stat? Willie Snead, who I like in deeper leagues, I rostered for a while he was injured the first few weeks of the year, suspended or injured, whatever he was. He's actually played the last 5 weeks. He played like a lot of snaps last week. And he has, over the last 5 weeks where he's come back from injury or suspension, negative 0.4 fantasy points.
Yeah, well, he cost Av $20 that
one. Yeah,
week.
He has a fumble, and he has like 16 yards receiving and a fumble. So in non-PPR, or maybe half point PPR, I forget what it is, he has negative 0.4, even though he like plays during the game. Like, he's on the field, but somehow doesn't even get... throwing the ball. It's very strange.
With Drew Brees, by the way, throwing to him, who Drew Brees isn't getting touchdowns this year because they're running for touchdowns, but Brees is still the second best quarterback.
Right. It's insane. And like my 20-team league is so bad, I was actually thinking about starting Willie Snead at receiver this week because I have Robbie Anderson on a bye.
Yeah. Not
no, well, I think I might have to start D.D. Westbrook. You don't even know who that is.
I'd rather start him than Snead, I guess.
Yeah,
I do. He's owned in the AYFL. Okay. All right. So who were we just talking about again? Number 22, the garbage, the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore this week going to Green Bay. They're favored in Green Bay. Yeah. Flacco should never be favored.
Well, I think
Hundley,
isn't 100%.
He's looked competent, but
he might not be playing. It might be Joe Callahan who played Division III, which is crazy. A Division III quarterback. I really think, what happened if there was a backup quarterback convention and they all, like, you know, something bad happened to them, like they all like died in a plane crash, or you know, to be nicer, like disappeared off the face of the earth, leftover style.
Kaepernick is
like
this
Kaepernick
point?
Still won't get signed. Like people have to understand. Like people have to stop freaking out when someone saw. Like he's never getting signed.
Yes. If you think it's football, nobody thinks it's football related anymore, and the owners have admitted that basically, and so he's not getting signed. It doesn't matter. You can't trot out every Division III player you want. Trot out like flag football Yeshiva League players.
There's they would cancel the season, I think.
Bring out the guy from Pizzeria Frat.
The old man,
75 years old. He urinates on the field because he's too old to walk.
Does he really do that?
Yeah, I mean, he did that when I was on his team 17 years ago. Now he probably has a wheelchair. I don't even know. But yeah, he when he had to pee, he would just turn around and pee on the field because he literally couldn't walk.
Crazy.
So I'm picking the Packers. I don't care who their quarterback is.
No, I'm not because, Hundley, I'm nervous about Hundley's injury, and Callahan, to me, is a non-starter.
All right. Well, so
I
mean,
have a good defense
this,
to go
but
up
I'm
against
assuming
the
Hundley's
quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, but Baltimore's so bad. All right. Okay, so that's number, what was that, number 22. Number 21 is the Denver Broncos. We just discussed them with Cincinnati. They're 3-6. If they win, they're 4-6, so you have to pay attention to them. I mean, next week they have a good game. I'll give them that, right? Next week they're facing Oakland. It'll be a battle of two 4-6 teams. The winner will probably be in the sixth spot for the wild card. The loser, you know, their season's over. So week 12, you can watch the Broncos. Other than that, no need to watch the Broncos. All right, so that's number 21. Number 20, the Detroit Lions. So again, this could fluctuate. If they win a game or two that I'm not expecting them to win, then they could be, you know, in the playoff race, and they could be higher than number 20. But for me, I think that they have a monster game on Thanksgiving against the Vikings, because they already beat the Vikings once, which means that if they beat the Vikings on short rest at 12:30 a week from this Thursday, they will have swept the Vikings, and they would be possibly just one game behind the Vikings. So that game's very big, but and I think the Lions will probably win that game, spoiler alert. But other than that, I don't think Detroit's going to make the playoffs again. I think you need 10 wins in the NFC. I don't think they're going to get there just to have a chance. So I think the Lions are probably pretty boring.
Yeah, no, they are boring.
And as we already said, I think Chicago's going to beat them this week. All right, number 19, the New York Jets. Hanging around.
Well, the reason they're high up is because they play a lot of good teams still.
Yeah. They're playing Carolina in week 12. That's a good game. They're facing Kansas City in week 13. You know, I don't think they're going to win, but, you know, that's a reasonably good game. So, you know, they're facing Denver, who I said, you know, might technically still be in the playoffs. They're facing New Orleans, and that's – yes, they're playing teams, which, by the way, but does not bode well for them. But, you know, it means that other teams are interested in their games. So, yeah, that's why they're number 19. And they're on a bye. Number 18, the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know what? The Jaguars are locked to make the playoffs at this point. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, the Jaguars, listen, the Patriots, the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Jaguars are all in the playoffs. It's just who's going to, you know, who's going to, like, I think the Titans will get the fifth seed, and gun to my head, I think the Raiders would probably get that sixth spot. But, you know, there's still some, the Chargers not lost that game.
Jaguars,
I really like the Chargers' chances, but they just have too many heartbreaking losses, like too many L's at this point.
Assuming the Cowboys are still alive, the Cowboys-Eagles game in Week 17 will be flexed for sure, because obviously, you know, the Cowboys will get a much higher rating than Jaguars-Titans. But the way I have it right now, the Jaguars and Titans are going to be playing in Week 17, and they're going to be playing a game for the division. So, I think if they're both 10-5, which is the way I have it, they'd be playing just to see. It would sort of be like the Vikings and Packers a couple years ago. They'll be playing to see who's going to win the division and who's going to be the 5 seed. So they're going to be basically playing to see who's the host of the game the following week.
Right.
But you know, but that game has a good chance to be getting flexed in Week 17. And then in Week 13, in Week 14, the Jaguars are facing Seattle, and that's going to be a game between two playoff teams. Who would have thunk? So so the Jaguars have a couple of good games remaining. You know, the whole thing about this exciting index is, you want to be high, but you don't want to be too high, because if you're very high, that means you have a really tough schedule. So the Jaguars are happy, because other than those two games I just mentioned, they have a pretty cake schedule, which is why they're marching to the playoffs. Number 17 is the Buffalo Bills. I think that loss to the Saints sort of ended their season, but they are playing good teams pretty much every week, so that's why we're going to see a lot of Buffalo on our televisions.
Mm-hmm. The Bills suck. Tyrod Taylor gets like 3 fantasy points a week now. I hate him. He's terrible. You're such a Tyrod Taylor defender.
He had 27 last week, and then this week
he had 27 after the game was over. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, he scored him within the 60 minutes of the game. I don't care if
Yeah, but in real life, he's
especially
been
more
terrible.
When it's garbage time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, not true. But all right. So Buffalo, by the way, at the Chargers. I'm taking the Chargers. I assume you are as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I need to see something from the Bills bet on them.
All right. Well, okay. We're putting a fork in that season. All right. Number 16, the Green Bay Packers. As I said, I think they have a huge game in Week 16 against the Vikings. It'll be for the division. I have the Packers at 16 right now, and if I'm wrong about a couple of games, they could be up to like number 6 on this list, or they could be down to number 30. Mm-hmm. Really hard to know. And if they don't have a quarterback, obviously that causes problems. So we already discussed them a little bit. All right, number 15, the Chargers. You know, we said the Chargers are a team that basically has the ability to be 10-6, but they had some bad losses early, so they're out of the playoff race. But they're going to have some competitive games, I think. So.
Right. I guess. I like the Chargers. I think that, like, if you played this season 1,000 times.
Well, hold on. The game against the Bills will be a pretty good game. Next week they're facing the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. I think that'll be a pretty good game.
Yeah, I don't know how relevant they're going to be. And then, you know, at the end of the season when if they're 6-9.
Yeah, but these games are relevant for the other team, so.
They wasted this season. All right.
Yeah. All right, number 14, the Tennessee Titans. You know, as I said, I think that they're going to be facing the Bengals with the division on the line at the end of the season. And this week they have a great game. I don't think they're going to win, but they're going into Pittsburgh, and this is a real statement opportunity for them. Marcus Mariota has been a little bit disappointing all year.
Yeah, this is a really good game. This is the Thursday night game.
So, you know, the schedule has actually worked out very nicely this week. The best two games of the week, the best game of the week this week is the Sunday night game. The second best game of the week is the Monday night game. And then the Vikings-Rams is a great game, which is on regular. And then the game of the week, New England against Oakland at the 4 p.m. slot is a great game. And then Thursday night, we have a great game, Tennessee against Pittsburgh. So we have good all the national TV games are good this week, which is rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only swap is, again, if we could get Rams-Vikings on national TV, I think that would be a good game. But Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's going to win, right?
It's going to be close.
Tennessee's benefiting
from Pittsburgh,
an easy
schedule. As you've been saying for years, is a different team, obviously, at home than on the road. They were embarrassing last week.
Yeah, well, this one's at home. Yeah. But this one's at home.
No, I understand. I'm going with an upset. I'm going with Tennessee here.
Oh, wow. Well, that would certainly cause a big adjustment to my excitement rankings, so I hope you're
right.
Well,
that's what I have in mind. All I want to do is cause big adjustments to your excitement rankings.
Oh, of course. That's what it's all about. Yeah. That's how they motivate these teams in the locker room before the game also. All right, number 13 is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay season is over, but the reason Tampa Bay is so high is because they are facing a lot of good teams, and they're going to have a lot of very relevant games. So this week is not really an example of that. They're facing the Dolphins. But next week they go at Atlanta in a must-win for Atlanta. The following week they go at Green Bay, a must-win for Green Bay. The next week they host the Lions, a must-win for the Lions. The next week they face Atlanta again, another must-win for Atlanta. So basically every single week Tampa's playing a game that is an absolute must. Oh, then they place Carolina in week 16, which is a must-win for Carolina. And then they finish the season against the Saints. So basically Tampa, who's not going to make the playoffs, is playing seven straight games against teams who need to win. And Tampa's a team who, in theory, could, you know, sort of like the Chargers, they could play better than their schedule if Jameis is healthy. And you know,
well, Jameis is not healthy. He's not coming back, I don't think.
You think he's done?
I don't think he's going to play again, yeah. Because they're so out of it by the time. I don't think it'll be worthwhile. And, like, he came back, he played twice, and
they have to develop
twice.
Him.
Like, it's not worth messing with his shoulder. You know, make him have some sort of, like, Tommy John surgery.
All right. Okay, next we have the New England Patriots at number 12. The Patriots have arguably the game of the season, week 15, which will be a Sunday night game of the week. They're facing Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. They're playing a game for home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs in that week. And then this week, as we said, they have a great game in Mexico, also game of the week against Oakland. But other than that, it's a pretty easy schedule for New England, right? They're facing the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, Oakland, Mexico is a rough week. It's a rough travel. It's rough. You know, it's an opponent that.
What's your pick for that game? Are you picking an upset there?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Oakland actually. Even though, I mean, they are going to have they have a ton of fans in Mexico.
Your driver is going to be at the game.
I don't know if he's going to be at the game because the game's not in Cancun.
Well, he'll be listening.
It's like
radio,
someone
though.
Saying, "Oh, the game's in America, so he's going to go." Like it might be like that's like the flight from Cancun to Mexico City might be far. I don't know.
Yeah,
or expensive. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Wow, so we got a lot of disagreements this week. We already got six, and we got some big games to go still. All right. That's interesting. So you think the Raiders are going to win. And I guess you said you think the Raiders are making the playoffs. So if they win this game, that would really help that cause, obviously. All right, number 11, I have Kansas City. Kansas City also, like Pittsburgh and New England, is going to be fighting. And here's the thing. If New England loses that game at Pittsburgh that I mentioned before, they will have lost head-to-head against Pittsburgh and Kansas City, which means that they will be losing all those tiebreakers for a bye. So we might see the Patriots in the first round of the playoffs.
I don't think we will. I think Kansas City has fallen back a little bit. I think they're going to be the 3 seed.
Okay, well, let's start with this week. This week, Kansas City is going to the Giants. That's an easy win, right? Mm-hmm. We've already established that. And, you know, this is the easiest game they have left. But Kansas City's schedule isn't the most difficult schedule, really. Next week, Kansas City is facing Buffalo.
And also, Pittsburgh could lose some road games. I think the Patriots are going to be the 1 seed.
Well, hold on. Well, let's discuss Kansas City. Hold on. So you have the Patriots losing to Oakland, and you still think they're going to be the 1 seed? Because remember, they're losing. Are they going to win in Pittsburgh? Because that'll make things a lot easier for them. I mean, I don't know why we're predicting 15 games right now.
I don't know if they're going to win in Pittsburgh.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let me put it this way. If they lose that game at Pittsburgh, they have almost no chance of being the 1 seed.
Yes.
So that's a must-win for them. Yeah, that'll be a great game. All right, Kansas City, we said. And then next is Pittsburgh, who we just mentioned. So I have New England, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, 12-11-10. Pittsburgh, you know, they're devalued a little bit because they have a couple of gimmies. Like, they're facing Cleveland in Week 17 in an automatic win in a game that, as again, they might need for playoff seeding. But other than that, Pittsburgh has a great schedule. That game against New England is going to be a phenomenal game. They're facing Cincy and Baltimore still, which are always good games because, you know, there's a potential for real violence on the field. Mm. Or, by the way, Vontaze Burfict clearly is suffering sort of like Rasheed Wallace did in the NBA. Like, he did not deserve to be kicked out of that game.
No. I mean, he deserved to get kicked out of a lot of games, yeah. But ironically, not that one.
Yeah, you can't feel bad for him because he's such a scumbag, but yeah. All right, so Pittsburgh is number 10. I have Oakland at number 9. Oakland has, I mean, I guess, look, if they can beat the Patriots this week, they'll shoot up this list. But they have a couple, look, they're playing the Giants, which is a very uninteresting game, obviously, but it's an important one because they can get an easy win there. I think, basically, we're going to see who Oakland really is this week. If they beat New England and Mexico, then they're headed to the playoffs. And we could see, like, New England-Oakland in round one again, which would be really exciting. It's a 3-6 yeah. matchup. So let's see what Oakland gives us this week. But I have very different expectations than you. I think Patriots can win that game pretty mm-hmm. easily. Okay, number 8, Seattle. It's tough to – you know, is Seattle automatically a playoff team or not? You know, their defense is in shambles. Richard Sherman out for the year.
They're a playoff team. They're just not a Super Bowl contender.
So then who's a Super Bowl contender in the NFC?
Philly. The Rams, who I think right now are my pick. Minnesota. I mean, Seattle is after those teams. On a neutral field with Zeke, I think Dallas beats Seattle, but they might. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And I think the Falcons at this point, you know, are probably just as good as Seattle, if not better. So Seattle's not so good.
Wow. Okay, so here's the thing. So Seattle has a game at home against Arizona and a game against San Francisco. So those are automatic wins, mm-hmm. right? So right there, so we give them those two wins, they're 8-3 right over there. Other than that, they're facing Atlanta this week. That's a great game. They're facing Philly the next week. That's another great game. Both those are at home, at least. Then they go at Jacksonville. Then they place the Rams again at home. They already beat the Rams on the road. And then they face Cowboys on the road. So they're playing five of the best games of the year against five of the best teams of the this year. So Seattle, we're going to see what they are without Richard Sherman. This week, at home against Atlanta. Atlanta's been up and down this year. What's your prediction for that game?
It's Atlanta-Seattle in Atlanta?
No, it's in Seattle.
No, it's in Seattle. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to pick the Seahawks.
Okay, I thought we were going to disagree there. Well, so if they're going to win that game, yeah, then I mean, I would still gun to my head, I would pick Seattle to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC.
It's crazy.
We've seen them do
it
before.
Yeah, they're not doing it.
We've already taken for granted. They're going to beat the Vikings in the second round, no question. All right.
No, I think the kicker messes up the game and they lose. We've been waiting for that all year.
Yeah,
that game.
I mean, from your, yeah. Oh, I would love to see that. All right. Well, I mean, he already cost them the Washington game. So, all right. Number 7, the Philadelphia Eagles. The only reason the Eagles are this low is because they get to play the Bears at home and they get to play the Giants. So those are two very boring, unwatchable games. Because other than that, you know, again, this week at Dallas, to me, that's game of the week. Week 13 at Seattle, that's the game of the week. Week 14 at the Rams, that's the game of the week. Philly is just going to have some phenomenal games down the stretch. Week 17, hosting the Cowboys again. That game is going to be flexed unless the Cowboys are eliminated from the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Week 16 against Oakland, who you think are going to be headed to the playoffs. That's a great game on Monday Night Football. So there's a lot of good games for the Eagles remaining.
Yeah, no, the Eagles are we're going to see a lot of the Eagles between now and late January.
All right, and this week, they're going into Dallas. Are they winning on the road?
The Dallas without Zeke is a totally different team, and obviously without Tyron Smith, is, you know, they're also a totally different team.
Well, it's crazy how one left tackle is missing and that team is totally different. I mean, the best offensive line of football and
they're missing,
success,
you know, the line
guy,
is already so. Like it came back to earth from last year when it was incredible because the right tackle retired.
Yeah. 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 But yeah, that was really something else to see, you know, Dallas completely abused on the line by Atlanta on Sunday. I think they're going to win though. Part of this is wishful thinking because if the Eagles win that game, that division's over. So, and then
the division's over even if the Cowboys win. They're not coming back and tying them. I don't know why. This is like a fake news media narrative that the Cowboys have a chance to win the division.
Okay. Well, you can call it fake news, but the way that I have it is going into week 17, the Cowboys are going to be 10-5, the Eagles are going to be 11-4, the Cowboys are going to be undefeated in the division.
This is obviously assuming the Cowboys win this week, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They go into Philadelphia, and if they win the division. And that's a game where if they win, they win the division. If they lose, they're out of the playoffs altogether. And depending on what happens in the other games, the Eagles, if they win, obviously win the division, get a bye. And if they lose, the Eagles can be out of the playoffs altogether.
So
if that happens, that's the automatic flex.
It's not happening.
Obviously. It's not impossible. Again, 11-5 could very likely miss the playoffs in the
NFC.
It's
not happening.
The NFC is very top-heavy.
It is top-heavy, but no one's missing the playoffs. Well, 16 teams are making
it. Okay. All right, shooting up the list, number 6 and number 5 are playing each other this week. Number 6 is the Rams. Rams at Vikings. Who would have thought, you know, when the season started and I thought the Vikings' second half of their schedule was really tough, this was the run bright spot. In the middle of 4 tough road games, we got to play at home against the lowly Rams. Now this might be the toughest of all of them. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Rams first. Mm-hmm. The Rams have the most exciting offense in the league this year, incredibly, with Jared Goff and Robert Woods somehow. Yeah. The Vikings defense, which has been elite all year, they got beat up a little bit against Washington, but the offense stepped up. We talked a little bit about the Case Keenum-Teddy Bridgewater situation. It's really quite a conundrum.
I think you have to play Keenum until he has a bad game, and then you go to Teddy B. I don't think you could bench someone off such a good off like the way he's playing.
But that basically means that are you expecting him to have a bad game at some point?
I'm not expecting him to have a bad game, but I just think it sends a bad message that you can perform that well and lose your job.
Well, here's the thing about Kate. Well, I mean, like, look what the 49ers did when they replaced Alex Smith, who was having a Pro Bowl year, with Colin Kaepernick, who was, you know, a rookie nobody had ever seen before. The year they went to the Super Bowl. You know, and Zimmer is a
coach.
Brady
Bledsoe,
much
people are talking about that today. Schefter's like posting Brady Bledsoe stats. As if Case Keenum
isn't
like
sort of
probably older
because,
than Teddy Bridgewater, right?
Yeah, Case Keenum's 29. Yeah, Teddy's 23. But
Keenum's 23. That's
in QBR.
Like, Teddy's your future.
Yeah.
You have to treat him well or he's going to leave.
Well,
is he an unrestricted free agent?
He's an unrestricted. That's the evidence of why this team did not think there was any chance of him coming back, because they had an option in August and they decided to waive the option.
But you know what?
So something miraculous has happened between August and now.
You know what though? I mean, at this point, it's a crazy, like, you're in trouble. Like, your franchise quarterback is an unrestricted free agent. That doesn't happen in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's no chance that the Vikings thought he could come back.
That's wild.
So let's talk about Keenum for a second. He's been sacked 5 times the entire year. There's no other quarterback. Only one other quarterback has been sacked fewer than 11 times, who's played most of the season. I mean, it's just incredible. He never gets hit. Multiple times yesterday, it looked like Washington had him, and then he stepped up in the pocket, avoided the pressure. Really, really impressive. He also hasn't fumbled the ball the entire year, the only starting quarterback in the league who hasn't had a fumble all year. And I think that's what his value's been. Bradford is obviously the opposite. Bradford is, you know, has the mobility of, you know, like the Empire State Building. So he would constantly be, you know, getting knocked down. And then Teddy is more mobile than Keenum, but he tends to hold the ball a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, you were with me when the Vikings, you know, lost that game to Denver when they were driving to on the eventual Super Bowl champions that year, where Teddy had a strip sack to end the game when they were driving to win the game. And then it happened 2 months later in the same season at Arizona, the same thing.
Well, I mean, his mobility now is going to be obviously really problematic for the rest of his career, probably.
Well, but that's – so if even at his peak he was – you know, he didn't have the – I guess the awareness in the pocket to avoid getting hit and also
great
fumbling.
Immobile quarterbacks. Joe Namath was famously immobile, right? Never – you know, literally, you know, legs could not move.
Well, we have no idea about Teddy Bridgewater's mobility. I'm not concerned about his mobility. I'm concerned about his awareness.
Oh, his pocket awareness? Well, then if you have these concerns, like Case Keenum should be playing. I made a trade in the Rob's 20-team fantasy league today because I had my only quarterback – really was Josh McCown. Because I had Rodgers and Simeon, who both lost their jobs. So I had McCown, who's on a bye. So if I lose, I'm out of the playoffs for sure. So I had to trade for a quarterback, assuming Bridgewater wouldn't play. So I flipped McCown for Keenum today. So now if Keenum is named the starter, if Bridgewater's named the starter, I had a quarterback anyway. But you know, Keenum has a little more value tomorrow if he gets the job again.
Well, look, the fact that Zimmer is having this dramatic announcement tomorrow is the evidence that this is Teddy's job.
Yeah, it would be
eventually
crazy to... Right. The fact that he's even considering it, even if he picks Keenum, Teddy is on the way.
That means that it's Teddy. Yeah, because otherwise the answer would be, you know, Case Keenum just had the second best game by any quarterback this year according to QBR, which, by the way, is a little questionable because he had 2 terrible interceptions on consecutive passes.
Gun to your head, who does he pick tomorrow?
This week, Keenum. Next week, San Francisco. Excuse me. Teddy. Next week, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I think you go with Teddy versus a bad team like the Niners. But again, like
no, they're not. They're not facing the Niners next week. I don't know why the word San Francisco came in my head. No, here's the problem. They're facing the Rams on Sunday, and then 3.5 days later, they're facing the Lions at 12:30 on Thanksgiving.
Play him on Thursday, but then it's like, are you going to play Teddy twice in a week if you play him now? So then maybe Teddy doesn't play till week 13.
On the other hand, then well, but then you get the 10 days, so it's almost like another mini-bye.
Yeah,
bye.
So maybe Teddy plays week 13. Maybe that's the plan.
All right, so that would be – that's at Atlanta.
That makes sense.
And his, I think the first game of his career was at Atlanta, his rookie season, when he had – I think. He had like 300 yards and no touchdowns, if I recall correctly. Yeah, I mean, this schedule is just brutal for the Vikings, which is why the Rams are at 6, the Vikings are at 5. Each of these teams, we're going to be seeing a lot of them, and they might be getting flexed into even more games. So, you know, Rams at Vikings, who are you picking this week? It's a Case Keenum revenge game, by the way.
I'm picking the Rams. I think it's good. It's a great game, honestly, but I'm picking the Rams.
Yeah. By the way, Jeff Fisher had both these quarterbacks last year, and now they're both headed to the Pro Bowl.
I mean, the, right. Like, the value over Jeff Fisher, like the Vajif right now, is it just – I mean, like, Jeff Fisher shouldn't get hired to be a high school coach at this point. Like, the you know, you're right. Like, his two quarterbacks are going to be the NFC Championship game against each other. It's insane.
Guy couldn't complete a pass. By the way, he's not. What's he doing right now? He doesn't have a job, does he?
I mean, no. He's going to get some cushy job in the league office, I'm sure. That's what everyone thinks. Because he's, like, a friend of the league.
Yeah. All
he
right.
respects the Shield.
And by the way, we have 8 disagreements this week, so a lot
of
games
to disagree.
I'm picking
good,
the Vikings.
It's a really good week. And next week is the Holy Grail, which is no more buys.
You know, it's, yeah, well, but next week there's only one great game, which is New Orleans.
Yeah, but
the
listen,
Rams.
You get I those mean, 9 1 o'clock games, wherever there is next week, like you're guaranteed to have something going on. Yeah. There's been
well,
a
there's
couple...
not nine because there's three things. There's three.
Right,
hold on,
right,
there's three
right.
Thanksgiving
That's not
games.
Until week 13.
Right?
Yeah. What do you do for Thanksgiving? Are you like, do you do because you don't have any family who lives near you?
Well, we're hosting Thanksgiving for in our, I mean, we've hosted it in our apartment the last few years, but we're hosting it in our house
for your
the first
friends
time.
Or for family?
For family. Well, listen to this terrible mistake that my mother made. My mother booked her and my dad to fly in. They're landing at 2 p.m., which means that my dad is missing the Vikings game on the flight, and I'm going to miss the Vikings game because I have to go drive and pick him up from LaGuardia and drive him all the way to New Jersey.
Okay, first of all,
so that's
you are a good son.
Yeah.
Because the idea that I would ever pick up my parents during a big Jet game is laughable. But my father would never ask me to do
it. Well, my dad actually said that they would take an Uber.
Tell Jerry to take an Uber. It's insane that you had to miss the freaking Vikings game to drive them when from another state. Take an Uber.
Well, this
Jerry
is the
listen?
Reason why I've offered to do it.
Does
Jerry listen to this podcast? No.
No,
he doesn't know how to listen to
podcasts.
Do you
want me to email him? There's no way he can. It's insane. First of all, you're a good son.
Okay, so
I would never say yes. Never.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. My dad's also a big Vikings fan, and if I don't pick him up, he's stuck in an Uber for an hour and a half. He misses the whole game. Whereas if I pick him up, I have Sirius Radio in the car, so at least we can listen to the game on radio.
Can you, like, ask for a...
I'm not going to miss
a... ask for, like, an Uber driver that I'm not has Sirius Radio?
I'm not going to miss a play of the game. I'm not going to see it on TV, but I'll watch it on TV
like
in the 1930s? At halftime. I have
You're
to go
not
get
listening
him.
To a big football game on the radio? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a really a terrible job of my mother booking a flight.
I can't believe
game.
Your South African Especially mom, be... who's probably never watched a football game in her life, booked it during a Vikings game.
Oh, my mother's well aware of the Vikings, actually.
Does she watch games or no?
No, she doesn't watch them, but she's aware of them. I mean, she's living
I feel like this
her,
is a trolling effort. I think Jen would do this, too.
Well, the other part I was thinking about is I was thinking of asking Jen to go pick up my parents.
Oh, that's what I would do, too.
Well, but then the problem is then Jen's going to say, well, then you prepare Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, I think you could do that.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose. It's a lose-lose. All right, okay, so the Rams at 6, the Vikings at 5, New Orleans at 4. You know, we've already discussed New Orleans, but this week, not a great game, but the rest of their season is just dynamite games.
Yeah,
for New
listen,
Orleans.
New Orleans with the defense is going to be an exciting team. They're going to play a really exciting playoff game this year.
Yeah, I mean, just listen to their schedule. Okay, this week they face Washington, which is a decent game. Next week they face Carolina, both teams probably 8-3. Then the next week they go into Atlanta, which is a rivalry game. It's on Thursday night, and also not only is it a rivalry game, but it's a game that Atlanta has to win to stay in the playoff race.
I love that all the NFC South teams like have these like because the media like they're not super national teams, but they hate each other so much more than anybody realizes. Like anytime we have those NFC South
teams, we had no awareness of the Saints Falcons rivalry.
I would kill my grandma to beat the Saints. Like if I'm a Falcons fan,
yeah. And then New Orleans again in week 16. They're facing Atlanta again, this time at home. So, yeah, it's just, we're going to see some really good games. Oh, and I forgot next week, by the way. I skipped next week. Next week they play the Rams. So you have Rams-Vikings this week, Rams-Saints next week. So we're going to instantly see between those three teams that have sort of come out of nowhere to be atop their divisions in the NFC, we're going to immediately see which of those teams are, you know, who's the best in that crowd. And by the way, if New Orleans loses that game, then you got all – it's sort of like the Patriots in the AFC. That means New Orleans will have lost to the Vikings, will have lost to the Rams, The Rams Vikings have a clear head to head winner. So we're going to have a lot of head to head. So, which is good because we're not going to have to go to like the fourth tiebreaker for a lot of these teams for a seeding. So that's good. All right. Number three is the Cowboys. Again, if the Cowboys are knocked out of the playoffs, this will be very different. But the way I have it, the Cowboys have game of the week against Philly this week, game of the week against Philly in week 17. And in between that, they have four great games. And then the only game that is not any good for them is when they face the Giants in week 14. So that's the only break that the Cowboys get. For the Cowboys, it's going to be a really brutal end of the season if they want to make the playoffs.
They have no chance of making the playoffs.
All right. Okay. Again, I think they are playing a playing game against the Eagles in week 17. All right. Number two is Carolina. Carolina's on a bye this week. But then they come back, and every single game I have for, like, you know, whereas the Cowboys have, like, that one easy game against the Giants, for Carolina, every single game they have is a four-star or a five-star game. Week 16 is an average game against Tampa Bay, but that's still a better game than, you know, Cowboys-Giants.
Yeah, it is.
Carolina, you're going to want to watch them every single week.
Yeah, the way Cam is playing, they're a must-watch.
Yeah. And then the number one team, the most exciting team to watch the rest of the season, and, you know, they did this to themselves by, you know, dropping a bunch of easily winnable games early in the season. The Atlanta Falcons, if they want to get back to the playoffs, they got to run
the
gauntlet.
What do you mean? They went 2-0. They already, right, like, you know, like, erased the stigma. They reversed the jinx.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, Atlanta, every single game I have is a five-star game for them, except they have one four-star game. So Atlanta has almost a perfect GPA. I mean, this week against Seattle, that's a great game. Next week against Tampa, that's a four-star. That's a good game, not a great game. Then the next week they face the Vikings, that's a great game. The next week they face the Saints, that's a great game. The next week they face Tampa again. I think that's a better game. That's in Tampa. I think Tampa can win that one. The next week they face New Orleans, that's a phenomenal game. And then week 17 they face Carolina. So unless Atlanta is eliminated from the playoffs, I think Atlanta, like the Cowboys, they have to win week in, week out to have a chance in the playoffs, and they're all against tough teams.
I mean, they're certainly capable of winning any game, but that's a tough road though.
Yeah, so I'm excited, and I'll update this every week. You know,
not with the full podcast, but you could give us your
yes
breakdown.
Yeah, we're not going to do an hour long podcast on this every week. All right, so that was this week's episode. What else? You got anything else for us, Kiva?
No, we just posted, I think, since we started the finale of the Seinfeld podcast. So that's over. Very sad.
Oh, so for those of us who didn't hear it yet, I got to go listen to it.
Well, you didn't hear it because you were in the crowd doing other things.
Other things. Oh, yeah, a historic four-way trade. I have zero regrets. No regrets.
What does your wife think of the four-way trade?
My excitement was not conveyed to her correctly because she did not react the way that one would have hoped.
No. Did she like, wait, were you making this while you were like supposed to be watching the kids?
No, I was making it while I was supposed to be listening to your podcast.
Oh, so she was mad that you... Why? It was disrespectful of her not to come to that podcast, honestly. I take it as...
Well, she was working that night. She was in the hospital. She was literally saving lives.
I mean, so was I.
Yeah, that was a Seinfeld reference, by the way. The dermatologist. Yeah, yeah. Except my wife's not a dermatologist. She actually saves lives. She's not
a dermatologist. She would actually make money that way.
Yeah, that's true. I'd rather her pop some pimples and make 300 grand a year.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, dermatologists are rolling.
Yeah, but you can't work pimples once a week.
Giving Botox to, like, millionaires.
You can't work once a week as a dermatologist, though.
Oh, you can work part time in one of these practices, and you know, dermatologists have the easy life.
I tried when I was speaking to her. I tried to like convince her to start like working more, but she wasn't buying it.
Thanks for looking out for me. I mean, her working more actually opens up my podcasting ability because
if she works more, of course I want her. Nanny help. I want her to be home less. Yeah, she's been influence on you.
Truer words have never been spoken. All right, Akiva.
Bye. What do you mean? What do you mean? She all over me. She all over me. I didn't want to do it. Now I'm popping the bleed. I'm so fucked up. I bet you agree. Can you see? You're the one for me. You say it's the drugs. You say it's my enemy. I don't want to argue. I don't want to fuss and fight. I wanna turn up the night. Show me you want it right now. We had our ups and our downs. They don't mean nothing right now. Yeah, whoa. Show me you want it right now. We had our ups and our downs. They don't mean nothing right now. Yeah, whoa. The only thing I say right now, yeah, I'm sorry. Demons in my life, yeah, baby, they caught me. But with you, I see light, baby, please don't worry.
I took too much pills, my eyes getting drowsy. Flashbacks hit me now, yeah, baby, just hurry. If I end it all, will you tell my story? You supposed to ride for me, supposed to die for me. What happened to us, girl, now you hate me? What do you mean? What do you mean? She all over me, she all over me. I didn't wanna do it, now I'm clapping to bleed. I'm so fucked up, I bet you agree. Can you see, you're the one for me. You say it's the drugs, you say it's my enemy. I don't wanna argue, I don't wanna fuss and fight. I wanna give, I wanna turn up the night. Show me you want it right now. We had our ups and our downs. It don't mean nothing right now, yeah. Ooh. Show me you want it right now. We had our ups and our downs. It don't mean nothing right now, yeah. Ooh.